Episode 103 of the TV Dudes, recorded October 13th, 2016. New Kids on the Block. New Kids on the Bot? Really, Ashley? That's the title you came up with?
Look.
Throw you immediately under the bus.
I am only two Red Velvet Oreos in. I just got here. Oh. You guys gave me about 30 seconds. If I'm not mistaken, the previous name before that was something about fat chicks, so...
That was also from you!
God damn it! I'm terrible at naming things!
And yet better than both of us, because we got nothing.
Yeah, exactly!
Ours weren't even worth making a joke on the mic.
But it is New Kids on the Bot, because they're all new shows, except for Westworld that we talked about last week, and that has robots in it.
Yeah, that's the bots.
There you go.
And people have sex with robots in that show.
Look, it's a free podcast. Don't complain about our titles. That's where we've fallen, yes.
Oh, no.
Also, for the record, if somebody asked me on the fly to come up with a name for these shows, something that points out it's new, it's about robots and having sex with robots, is not the first thing that comes to my mind.
There's nothing in that title about sex with robots. You just put that in there. You didn't think I'd see it, but I saw it.
What I realized, I was trying to come up with a pun related to these shows that also work with New Kids on the Block, and I thought of bot first, and then as I said it, it sounded like you're on the bot.
Having sex with robots, I think that sells to our audience.
I agree.
That's good.
All audiences.
Boy bands? Maybe.
Yeah,
New Kids on the Block? A lot less.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of lonely 40-year-olds out there, and somewhere in their attic is a
People are like, oh, they're probably talking about Step by Step on this. I love that show. No, we are not. Wrong. New Kids on the Block. I can't even name the other ones.
There's Donnie and...
Which one was in Ransom?
Grumpy. I the songs. And Donnie and Grumpy.
Doc is one of them, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think...
Didn't one of them play the stoner in that movie Ransom?
It's possible.
I think it was Sneezy.
That was Mel Gibson.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
He didn't age well.
No, he literally didn't.
He's getting worse as he ages. It's definitely
true.
He's turning
more and more into a monster.
What happens to some people's face is happening to his brain.
Yeah. Well, in 10 years, he'll probably run for president.
Oh, God. Hey, we're the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
I'm Ashley.
And we are talking about a whole slew of new shows. We're going to be talking about Conviction, Timeless, American Housewife, Divorce, and Westworld. And we're going to talk about Atlanta next week. I know we got some questions from listeners about if we're going to discuss this. It's really awesome. We're saving it for next week, so stay tuned for that.
I love Atlanta.
Yeah, it is fantastic. It's one of the best shows of the year,
yes,
by far.
Absolutely.
But before we get into all that, I did want to say, hey, if you guys are listening to us through iTunes, please go give us a 5-star rating, write a review. We'll read that here on the show. It's a great way to help out the site. Another way to help out the site is over at patreon.com/TVDudes. You guys can make a per episode donation, and in exchange, we do bonus exclusive content that you guys can listen to. Do a bunch of fun stuff that's not TV related. But we're going to skip any mentions this week. We will save that for next week and move on to listener questions. Oh, wait. Randy, did you want to mention Beach Cop Detectives?
You saw it on my face, didn't
I
you?
I did. You were like, well, what about the people?
I was going to jump in and say there was another way to help out the site, and that's by listening to Beach Cop Detectives.
I don't actually
know how that helps out the site, but it helps me out, and I appreciate it. Yeah. Anyway, we're 6 episodes in. We're almost at the halfway point.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been getting quite a bit of love from on Twitter from, say, Michael Raymond James, who we'll be doing an interview with. And
awesome.
There's a guy, I don't know, you might have heard him, and he's directing Star Wars Episode 8.
Yeah,
Ryan Johnson was tweeting with Donald Logue about my podcast. I can quit now. I'm not going to get any better than that.
How awesome was that?
That was amazing.
Not only that, but Michael Raymond James was contacting Nate and saying how much he thought the artwork was cool.
And he threw out a really nice, he said, hey, you know, Terrier's Tribe, if you're not checking this out, he was very complimentary about the podcast. So not only are we getting attention from them, it's clear that everybody likes the podcast. So, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very awesome. So if you guys aren't listening to that, go ahead and check it out and subscribe. That's beachcopdetectives.com.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Let's move on to our listener questions. If you guys like us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, you guys can ask us questions every week. We'll put up a little post. And our first question comes to us from Oscar Osorio, who says, TV dudes, what are your thoughts on the new season of South Park? And do you like this long story format, or do you like the previous style more, where it'd be a lot more episodic and insulated, I guess?
Ashley?
Isolated.
Okay, so I have not seen the newest season of South Park.
Me neither.
To be honest, I haven't watched it in a few years.
Same here.
I'm okay with it. I'm not a huge fan. When it has its moments, I have some memories back from the 90s when I was pretty into it. But otherwise, I haven't really been closely watching it.
Grant, are you watching it?
I watched a good chunk of it last season.
Okay.
It had a PC Principal. And it's interesting because I'm not sure if they're kind of tackling things that I don't fully agree with. Or if, I mean, because they're just so cynical about everything that at first it was like, yeah, good, stick it to all these people. But after a while, I'm just like, man, you guys are just miserable assholes about everything. And well, I just feel like kind of bummed out sometimes that they have to attack everything because everything makes them angry.
That's kind of where I come at the other point. It seems like nothing makes them angry. It seems like the big selling point of South Park is we don't give a shit about anything. It's all funny.
It's there's nihilist comedy.
Yes, yeah,
I guess
that must be exhausting.
Yeah, right.
I think for me, the part of me that loves Futurama so much is why I don't like South Park as much, which is a little bit to your point, Grant. I need a little bit of variety. Mm-hmm. So you can definitely stick in there something that is sophomoric, to use the polite word. You can toss in something offensive, you can toss in something gross, but then also you gotta toss in something touching every now and then, and maybe an episode about a lonely dog. You know, I gotta have a full gamut of emotions, even from cartoons.
Yeah, South Park doesn't really have heart a lot of time.
No.
I mean, on rare occasion, I do believe, like, they've shown they can be powerful in that form of storytelling, but that's not their bread and butter, and they love making shows on the fly that are very targeted to the story of the week and taking people down a notch. And I don't know. I mean, I feel there's a lot of other great storytelling on TV that I'm gravitating toward more.
Yeah, now. I mean, it's definitely partly peak TV. There's just not enough time for everything, and I get that juice from Always Sunny. They do a lot of the same thing, but I think they do it better.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that they're now trying to do the long form storytelling and having season arcs and making bigger points, but maybe it's just a little bit too late for me. It's kind of like The Simpsons. I'm just growing tired of it.
Yeah.
Next question comes to us from Alex Zapata, who says, if you owned your own TV station, UHF, for example, what classic shows would you have on it? Also, what original programs featuring you and your pals would you make? I'm not giving you my ideas for free, Alex.
Yeah, don't you? He's a quarter finalist, sir.
Well, we've already established my ideas are not that great, so we gave them away for free.
Well, I think we all know that the two spies married to themselves would be the cornerstone of my network.
Adult babies,
yeah.
Werewolves, everyone's a werewolf.
Everyone's a werewolf. That's a reality show. Yeah. Everyone's a werewolf.
It must be like rare humans. They're the weird ones.
And a talk show. Everyone's a werewolf. It's also a talk show.
It's a talk show.
Okay. And then, I don't know. Classic shows is, I mean, that's a different question, because honestly, if I had a network up and running, you'd be watching Cheers and News Radio and Seinfeld pretty much every day, all day. And then at night, it'd be like Breaking Bad and Terriers every night.
And Twilight Zone. That's a good nighttime.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. What would be your go-to?
Well, I mean, obviously Cheers was like, I was just waiting for a pause. So I say Cheers because I think that's everyone's. I think I would try to set up a morning cartoons. They would start at 6 a.m. like a proper Christian morning cartoon should. However, they will also run until about 12:30 because I wake up late now. and they would include the Muppets.
Okay.
Which
not a cartoon, but
and they would also include some of the old PBS programming, like a 3-2-1 Contact and shit.
Wow,
maybe
okay,
like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For like the stoners who still haven't gone to bed.
What cartoons, though? What cartoons?
What cartoons would I include?
You like Herculoids action cartoons or like Warner Brothers cartoons?
He-Man?
Tom and Jerry?
Yeah. I'm thinking more like He-Man. Yeah. I probably have that.
Do you love He-Man?
Gem. Like those.
Gem.
Yeah. I think would be solid.
All right.
I think we're probably also going to have some like newer cartoons in. When I was younger, so actually, true story, one of the first comic books I ever owned also, in addition to one of my first favorite shows, was Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, okay.
So I would definitely drop that in there. There's not a farting on TV, so.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
so.
Grant, what about you?
I'd have to have X-Files on there and Seinfeld, maybe Friends.
Really?
I like Friends.
No,
enough.
Really? You're not going to mention Lost?
Lost? Is that old?
It's old.
I guess it's old.
Oh, that's so cute. You're so old.
I'm just kidding. I just didn't even think of it that way. Yeah, I'd have Lost and Breaking Bad, and I'd go ahead and put maybe like Game of Thrones on there. Is that over yet?
Nah, but we can do reruns.
Cool. We can do some of those. Yeah.
You know what it'll do? You remember Ally McBeal? You remember this thing they did where they cut it down to like half-hour episodes and called it Ally with an exclamation point?
No, let's talked about this before.
Let's do this. Let's take Game of Thrones and cut it down to half an hour and make it a comedy.
We should try and cut an episode. Oh, man. Yeah. That would be great.
You just cut it to a half-hour comedy episode. You add some sound effects. You add a laugh track. I bet it'd work.
You guys go to edit this, could I do the Foley sound for it?
Yes, please.
Yes. Me stomping in sand.
Pushes the boy out the window. Boing.
Yeah, exactly.
I have one word for you guys. Patreon.
All right. Next question comes to us from Marvin A. Lanier, who says, what are some of your back burner shows? I have Boss and Justified. Both I have watched a few of and enjoyed them, but constantly keep finding reasons not to sit down and finish them.
I have Banshee. I've watched season one and I haven't watched the rest of that. I have Strike Back. Same deal. Both Cinemax shows that one of these days I'll get around to.
What do you have against Cinemax?
There's too much sex and I don't appreciate it. I think it's
icky.
Yeah, it's icky. I don't like it. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, Bates Motel has been kind of one of the things I might watch. It's like Vera Famiglia so much, and I like Carlton Cuse. And I know there's some other stuff sitting in that queue of like, oh, if I had time. Well, I still haven't watched The Returned season two, which I really love season one. Le Revenant.
A billion shows. Maybe it might be a high, rough estimate.
But you've actually already watched billions, ironically.
I have.
Yeah.
The one I keep thinking of, Battlestar Galactica. I watched the first two seasons twice, and I just can't seem to make it past it. I don't know what it is.
You know, you might be okay.
And then I kind of forget what happened. I'm like, well, you got to start from the beginning again.
Also, it's real confusing.
Is it?
Yeah, it doesn't really. It falls apart a little bit. And I love Battlestar Galactica, but it falls apart.
The ending wrecked it for me, to be honest. I don't think you want to go all the way to the end.
You're the Worst is that one that you keep talking about.
Oh, my God,
Broad City.
You're the Worst.
I haven't gotten into these two yet, and I see great things about them.
The Magicians and The Expanse on Sci-Fi are both on my list.
Skip those, I'm sure.
Broadchurch Season 2. Still haven't watched that.
Skip that. The first season was terrible.
What?
Broadchurch was great. I'm going to skip most of your
Broadchurch. You're talking the American or the British one?
Yes.
Oh, my God. The British Broadchurch is so good. Garfunkel and Oates. Never watched any of it, and I love both of them. I've actually got a list. I'm looking at my list of TV to watch.
I know. That's what I'm doing right now as well.
Parenthood? Like, I really want to watch Parenthood. I love
it. Skip it.
You love Friday Night Lights just like me.
I do.
It's Jason Kadams, and the cast is so good. You know it's good.
I know it's going to be sappy, and I just can't do it. Yeah. I can't do it again.
You can't even handle This Is Us.
No,
it's too sappy.
Too sappy.
Oh, Narcos and Arrow. I haven't. I started picking up Arrow, and then I dropped it because I got busy. Not because I didn't like it, but also Narcos. I haven't watched that, and people seem to be liking it.
You know what's weird about Narcos for me is that I really enjoy it when I'm watching it. It is like the ultimate empty calorie TV, because like once I'm done with it, I'm like, I could have not watched that and had the same impact on my life.
You just described cocaine.
Oh.
Except for the very last part. I guess that would still have an impact on your life.
Oh. Well, wait, would you watch Narcos without doing cocaine? Because that doesn't feel right. I think you gotta do cocaine while watching Narcos.
So that's what it is.
Yeah. Or you can drink cocaine wine.
Cocaine wine break. The next question comes to us from Charles Armstrong, who says, did I miss something, or did you guys never talk about the Mr. Robot Season 2 finale? And yes, this is true. We did not talk about it. And we are now partnered with Permanent Record, the network, And one of our sister shows is the Mr. Robot O podcast, hosted by Mike Moody,
yep,
who is our fearless leader of the network as well.
Yep.
And that's not an excuse for us to not really discuss it.
I feel like it's an excuse.
I mean, we have popped up on their show time to time, and discussed some stuff there. But this was a really fun season, I thought, and
yeah,
I would love to kind of delve into that. But that finale fell right as it was fall premiere season, and we were just kind of engulfed in all of this.
And the damn networks went ahead and made good shows this year.
Yeah, so we should discuss that at some point.
Ashley, do you watch Mr. Robot?
I don't.
You should
put that on the top of the list.
High of the list.
Yeah.
You can put that above Narcos, please.
Oh, thank you.
Unless you got a whole bunch of cocaine sitting around.
Well, could I not do the cocaine and watch Mr. Robot?
I feel like it pairs better with Narcos. Like Mr. Robot, you really want to have like some heroin or some painkillers. You really want to match your drugs.
My leftover bottle of Oxy.
Yeah, if you're watching Breaking Bad, you want to have some meth to go with it. I feel like you really want to pair. If you're watching Cheers, it's a good beer show.
They're all good beer shows. That's the actual problem I have.
If you're watching Real Rob, anything you've got in the house, it's alcoholic. You need.
Okay.
Everything in the house is alcoholic.
All right, so I just made a hard cut because Randy and Ashley actually ended up talking about drugs for the next 20 minutes. So we are back to focusing on the show here. And our last question, we're not going to get to all of these, but we're going to take one more. Last one comes to us from Kyle Volte, who says, "Hey, TV dudes, Thanksgiving has just passed up for me here in Canada and will soon be upon you." Well, depending upon how the 8th goes.
What? Which, is Trump going to cancel Thanksgiving?
There might not be much to be thankful for. Yes, it's the joke.
Okay.
What TV trends are you thankful for? I'm thankful for that semi-regular host on a podcast named Kyle, who isn't too confusing for me.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're thankful for that. Kyle will be glad to be thanked. What am I thankful for? I'm thankful for Peak TV, I guess. I do love having so much to watch.
Yeah, it's fun that we not only have so much great TV to watch, but, you know, doing this podcast, we get to really delve in and discuss all of our favorite things about TV and shit on all the ones that we don't like with a community of fans.
Exactly.
I love that.
Literally shit on it, which is weird. We go through a lot of computers.
If you guys are Patreon subscribers, you guys... No, I'm kidding. You don't get our scat videos.
That was going to a weird place.
As a guest, can I make hard cuts? I would like to say I am thankful for the continued trend of long format, high production television. I think that's great. I also like the shift that ABC Family, having more different types of shows on ABC as opposed to, them all being Seventh Heaven or something like that.
It's not, what is it now? It's
oh yeah, it's
Freeform.
Freeform. Yeah, and yes. Actually, that came up when we were at the TV festival.
Yeah.
They were really pushing hard that they have this new brand.
Have you noticed a difference? I guess you are saying, like, is it
better? We're going to talk about one that isn't better today, I think, American Housewife. But is it Camp Sweepwater, that show?
Yeah, that was the one that you saw that was like the...
It's sort of like an 80s horror camp.
Did you keep up with that at all, or just the...
I watched one more episode, and that is actually a really good example of a show that I want to watch more of that keeps getting put on the back burner just because I get busy, mostly with movies.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, opens up more options. Yeah.
I'm also thankful for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
I got to throw that in there.
I would like to just say I'm thankful for Luke Cage. Just good to know he's out there. You know? Just thankful for him.
I'm thankful for our fans.
I'm thankful for cocaine.
And cocaine wine.
All right, cocaine break.
So we have the news. It is not a huge news week, but, we'll talk about it anyway.
Yeah, we'll spend a segment.
Why not? So Westworld, the bosses have confirmed that season two is in early development.
Awesome.
Is it officially renewed?
I would say that's good. That's a good sign. They had their ratings for the second episode, and it was as high as the first week.
Nice.
Which is great for them.
So they're not going to vinyl this thing?
No. Yeah. This looks more like it's going the way of Game of Thrones than the way of Leftovers.
Oh, poor Leftovers.
Hey, they got their final season.
They did better than vinyl.
Yeah.
A prophetic name.
And then Stranger Things. We found out, everybody talked about Stranger Things getting renewed for season two. And now everybody loved it.
Yeah, it was a super exciting event.
Well, Stranger Things was renewed for season two before it even premiered.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, Netflix knew what they had, I guess. They saw it and they're like, oh, gold.
This is good.
And on top of that, that explains a lot more, like how they had that little teaser that had all the titles. I'm like, whoa, shit, you guys already have all that ready?
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks after it came out?
What if the truth is that they've already filmed like 10 seasons?
Oh my God.
What if
that would be the strangest thing?
What if they wanted to make sure they didn't have the kids grow old? So like, we're going to film 10 seasons in a weekend. Here, kids.
In a weekend.
It's just going to start day one, Friday, 9 a.m.
So crappily made all
and,
the rest of the seasons.
And it's just going to go all the way. That's what, 72 hours? Should we do 72 episodes of TV? No breaks, no stopping, just 72 hours of TV.
Oh, man.
Do you think it's going to all stay in the 80s, or is it going to progress? Like, are they going to be in toe rings?
It's actually all the same weekend.
By season four?
In the 80s. It all takes place the same week. It's, yeah.
Excellent.
It's very experimental filmmaking.
I don't like it.
Have you guys done as a backlash going on against Stranger Things?
I am aware of that.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, people are like, oh, it's so terrible. Oh, it's just 80s pastiche. No, it's good. Shut up.
Well, I think the problem is that if enough people really love something, people who just thought it was okay, or maybe it wasn't for them, then they feel like they have to be more ardent and hate it.
Yeah, that's true.
When in actuality, they just maybe didn't love it as much as we did.
Or they write an article that's scathing because people who love it will click that article angrily to read it.
Correct.
Like, why are you shitting on my favorite thing?
I click all articles angrily.
Yeah, I know you do.
You read that piece.
Everyone on Facebook that's a friend of yours.
You hate click.
I hate click.
You just hate click everything on the internet?
Even the stuff I'm excited about, I'm angrily clicking.
You like that? You take that click.
You take that click.
Okay, now it's
weird.
That
went to a weird place.
It did. Yeah. Oh, it got weird really quickly.
Okay, so Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is getting a TV series.
Why?
You know, I could see this, actually. I'm not a giant fan of the movie. I don't dislike it. It just didn't like click with me as much. But the story of someone who of something that sort of edits memories and you know, that kind of thing, that's a really interesting premise to explore on TV, I think.
It sounds depressing.
Well, I mean, the movie was sad.
Yeah.
The movie was sad. I liked it, but it is sad.
Yeah.
I just, the thing about the movie is the movie's all about the romance between these two, this one couple, and what they're doing to deal with a breakup. But what if they took that and expanded on what would really happen if you had someone who could edit memories for you? Like, and just did different characters and that kind of thing.
Well, I think I think what the show would need to be, I think, to be good is, you know, it would need to be more of like an anthology, because if in the episode there's just five people, one wants to forget their dead dog, one girlfriend left them, somebody's parents died. I mean, that stuff's all sad, and I see it in like the headlines because I read the paper where dog's death make headlines. But it's not going to be heart-wrenching the way the movie is, because I followed these people. I watched their romance blossom, and then watching it fall apart is sad.
Yeah.
So I suppose if it's just a whole bunch of little mini movies, then it will work. But if it's just like, here's a world we live in where memories can be edited.
You don't think?
I mean, I guess I'll cry a lot.
Here's what needs to happen.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It needs to be this person who writes fantasy fiction teams up with a cop, and they go around like erasing memories to save, like, solve crimes.
So you think it's going to be on Fox?
Yeah. Somehow they're just going to take some existing script that's bullshit and just wedge this branding of Eternal Sunshine in there.
Oh my God, I feel like you're right.
Will they drive around in a van?
Yes, I hope so.
Okay, then I'll watch it.
The one saving grace, it's made by Anonymous Content. These are the guys who made True Detective and Mr. Robot.
Oh, which season of True Detective?
Okay. Not the
fair
point.
Question. Answer the man, Randy. Answer the man.
I believe they're responsible for both seasons.
Ah.
Okay. Okay.
So,
okay.
So, you know, some wins, some losses.
Yes. Yeah. So,
we'll see how that goes.
I don't know. I who knows if even they will actually go to series.
Yeah.
Speaking of pickups, we were talking about Netflix picking up Stranger Things. They're already talking about Black Mirror season 4.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
They haven't even released season 3, right?
No, it comes out in a couple weeks, and I'm super excited.
Yeah.
I love Black Mirror. We talked about this a little bit last week, not but this particular story, but we talked about the notion of Black Mirror sort of being one of these British shows. They do like 6 episodes, they're doing a 3rd season, and the question is whether or not we want them to keep going, because eventually they're going to hit a stinker episode, right? They have to. So maybe it's better not to go, but at the same time, like, you know, more Black Mirror, yay.
Yeah.
So until they have a stinker, I'm good.
Let yourself be disappointed by one.
Survive one stinker. No, I know. I can't. We've been friends for a while.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, fact.
And finally, there is a new Iron Fist trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And every time the one show comes on Marvel Netflix, they put out the trailer for the next one. It's a teaser. It went out from New York Comic Con. Did you guys both see the teaser?
Yeah. It was exciting, I thought.
It's got nice kung fu kicking.
Uh-huh.
And
glowing fists?
It has a glowing fist. Here's my issue. And okay. I've discovered after Luke Cage that I have an issue with the Netflix shows, which is they're great and I love them, but I need him to be more superhero-y. I need him to be wearing the costume, and not just in the final episode. I need the fist to have actual flames on it and not just his hand a little orange like he's Donald Trump.
I need these to be faster paced. And they need to cut out a few episodes.
That's true.
I don't understand why they think just taking your time is artistic.
Yeah.
It's boring. You're an action movie.
Yeah.
Luke Cage, do stuff a little faster.
Yeah. That said, I really liked Luke Cage. Whatever issues I had with it, I really liked it. And this shows Colleen Wing, which is really cool because I like that character. And I've liked all the Marvel Netflix stuff, and this looks like another in that same vein. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah, I'm just excited for them to start tying all these together, and I hope whoever they get to be the grand architect of the Defenders is someone who does something a little bit more fast-paced.
Well, Real Rob is going to be on hiatus, so maybe they can take over and take a look at it.
Yeah, cool. That's a great idea. Start with our favorite channel, ABC.
Our very favorite.
Well, I mean, Ashley, you were singing the praises of, what was it, Fathom or what was it?
Yeah, I would say I was saying that I appreciate that there's new opportunity for it to go in a different direction.
What's their new ABC Family thing called?
Freeform.
Freeform.
Yeah.
Anyway, this isn't that. This is just on general ABC. And we're starting with the show Conviction. Which, unfortunately, I'm the one who kind of took a bullet on this one and watched a little bit of it. I only watched the first half, and I feel that was enough to get an assessment of what's going on here. And this is Hayley Atwell's new show that they stole her away from Agent Carter. And she plays this bad girl that comes from a political elite. And
isn't she the former first daughter?
Yeah, or something like that. I don't remember what it was. I wasn't really paying attention. She gets busted for cocaine possession, and instead of going to jail, they make a deal for her to be the new district attorney that tries to right wrongs in political in cases and whatever. It's all very tired and formulaic. It's nothing unfamiliar. They're going to go case of the week and try and right wrongs. They're trying to do a little bit of pulling off of what was an investigation in Serial Season 1, where this guy is convicted of the murder of his girlfriend, and they're trying to figure out the case for this guy and prove he was innocent. I don't know. It just became really boring. There was the dynamic between the characters. It all seems like kind of cookie-cutter process of, we need this guy who's kind of Sean Ashmore. He'll be the handsome partner who's kind of dragged along. There'll be a lady who kind of challenges Hayley Atwell at every step, and another person who idolizes her and is a little bit wet behind the ears. I don't know. It was all boring. There's a scene that has her quite unnecessarily changing her outfit during a meeting.
You have
just
my
so
attention.
That we see her strip down to her underwear. and I was just like, what the fuck is this? Why did they... all of it just rubbed me the wrong way. It's really boring, and I don't need any more of this in television when other people are doing such amazing shows.
Like American Housewife.
Well, yeah, let's go ahead and jump into American Housewife. This is a 30-minute comedy that stars... what's her name?
Katie Mixon.
Katie Mixon from...
Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down.
Yeah, how could you forget? It's not a forgettable show or anything. Actually, not. I'm totally fine with Eastbound and Down, but I'm an American Housewife. So this is a story about a heavier set. I wouldn't say fat, like a normal...
She's the second fattest woman in Westport. You know, I know.
Oh, Jesus.
She said it like
Christ.
Three times in the first 10 minutes because that's when I tapped out.
Yeah, so she is the second fattest housewife in this place in Connecticut.
And she is in no way overweight.
No, she isn't. She's lovely, just like she was in Eastbound and Down. And she plays this sassy housewife who's going to make it with her weird family and her weird husband. It basically amounts to her and the only two non-white people in this town, one of whom is a lesbian. Competing, of course.
Because they were playing diversity bingo at ABC.
Of course.
And I'm usually all for the diversity. Like, go for diversity bingo. Good for you.
The man doesn't feel heavy-handed.
But it's so, yeah, it's so on
the
nose.
Well, the problem with it is that, like, so I hate Sex and the City. And not because it's a shitty show. Like, there is that. It's a dumb show. I get that. But that's not why I hate it.
You're such a Samantha.
The reason I hate it... God damn it. The reason I hate it is that it wants to tout itself as, like, taking something back for ladies and being edgy. That's this show. I obviously want to see more diversity in my television. But if they're like, here are three sassy, heavy, oversized... One's African-American, one's Asian, and one's a lesbian to boot, trying to make it in this white bread town, when it's really just a bunch of women competing against each other and making one another feel shitty.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's terrible. And yeah. The jokes are so contrived.
Yeah, the kid with OCD.
Oh, God.
That was just embarrassing.
It was really awkward. And there's one kid who's like a little buddy yuppie.
To make a joke out of it.
Yeah, like mental illness is hilarious. Am I right?
Oh, you guys are doing great for diversity. And then also really making fun of OCD for people.
And,
yeah.
And also, Diedrich Bader plays the husband. I love that guy. And he is totally wasted here.
Yeah, at least he's on Veep occasionally.
That's true.
Yeah,
it is kind of funny. Like, I know he's better than this, and he's like not acting. He just walks around, and he just looks dead in the eyes. And it made me think about that Patton Oswalt joke where he talks about like young parents in like 7 o'clock in the morning at Costco with their brood of failures trailing behind them. They're just dead in the face. As I saw him walking from set to set, I was like, my God.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? I need the paycheck.
Or someone has some shit on him.
That's possible.
Who knows?
Yeah.
You know?
He is taking a paycheck. This show bugged me right from the onset. Like, in the first couple minutes, it has them complaining about how poor they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're living in a big-ass house.
Yeah. But, they're just renters. Ugh.
They're poor by Westport standards, I guess.
Yeah, and I was just like, how relatable are you, Hollywood, when you kind of portray this? It's like in Speechless. Oh, they're so poor. They have a full fucking house.
That's true.
Oh, your door falls off and there's no back porch? Oh, how poor you guys
are. It is the Hollywood version of poor. It's true.
Yeah, it's kind of insulting, I think.
Yeah, no, it's true. The other thing, the thing that's really depressing to me about both of this, we probably just talk shit about the two highest rating shows on ABC. Because did you look at the ratings for the new season? The new season's really good. There's a lot of good shows. And the top two shows in terms of the ratings, the new shows, are Bull on CBS and Kevin Can Wait. That's Kevin
James, dude.
That's the new Kevin James vehicle, by the way.
People love Kevin James.
Why?
Because that's real America. And real America... Don't cut the cord.
Real America can suck my dick.
Randy?
Yes.
That's the tip of the poor decision iceberg Real America has been making lately. I don't know if you live in a bit, like, but they've been making some bad decisions.
You've seen me on Facebook, so I'm not very into politics.
Yeah, fair
I don't
enough.
Really keep up
yeah, that's
with.
True. That's true.
Let's just steer clear of that. But
let's go back to what I know too. Cocaine.
Cocaine. Well, you mentioned cocaine in your conviction. I love that cocaine is a running theme of this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by cocaine.
We should just change the name of this to cocaine. Oh, and some television talk. Okay, moving on. The show on NBC that you've been most excited for, Randy.
I was looking forward to it.
Timeless, which is run by Sean Ryan of The Shield and Terriers fame.
Yep. And also Eric Kripke of Supernatural.
That's who it is.
Yeah.
Man, I heard the name and I totally was thinking Tim Kring from Heroes.
No, oh God, no.
And I was like, ooh, no, that's a mixed bag.
Eric Kripke is good.
Eric Kripke's okay. That first season of Supernatural. Meh.
Yeah, but Supernatural has a thing. It does a thing.
Yeah.
What it does well. Did you guys like this? I liked it, but I want it to be more. I could feel, I felt like the network like had its paw on it, holding it down from being something else.
I dug it. I watched the first two episodes before I even watched the rest of the other shows I was supposed to watch. Wow.
Ashley, what'd you think?
Yeah, I also enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't love it, to be fair, right before I watched the second episode of Westworld.
Yeah.
So
that's a high bar to clear.
Yeah, that's a high bar to clear. But I definitely see so much potential with what they have. I also liked that they shoehorned it a little, but not too bad. Like in the first episode, I get a really good sense of the rules of the world, which I liked because of the time traveling show.
Yeah.
Like it's nice to get those out there so that later they don't come up with like, oh, but this space shuttle can do whatever we want if they have some loose ends to tie up. Yeah. So I like that they laid out those rules.
Yeah, their fundamentals are good. The fundamentals that these terrorists stole like the main ship.
Yep.
So they can only ever follow them. Like they have to be following the bad guys. Like they can't be the guys of the agency. That's interesting. I like that they say, you know, you can't go somewhere you've already visited.
Correct.
Although, I've already thought of the way around this, which is why can't they get a team of three more people?
Yeah. No, for sure. You can get a team of three more people. So the idea is that you can't go to a time that you already existed in.
Yeah.
So that also means that you can't go back and, like, unsuck that dick, Randy. Yeah. That's done. That's forever.
You know what? Deal, Randy.
Yeah.
No regrets.
That's the deal I made.
But since neither me or Grant were there, we could revisit it and turn that guy down. So yes, you're correct.
But I'd still have to suck that dick.
That ship has sailed.
And I'd be like, "What are you doing here? And why are you wearing future clothes?" You're like, go suck that dick.
Get in there, save the world, Randy. Suck the dick, save the world.
Fool me
that's
once.
The new season of Heroes.
Fool me once. That guy told me he was a time traveler. But I like the sort of arc stuff that's building up around it. When she came back and they had changed the timeline and her mom was alive and her sister was gone, and they were like, we can't do it. And when they come back, and it seems like a thing they're gonna do every week, where they come back and the history has been slightly tweaked, but they know what the old history was, but the people back home don't. I like that. I like the sort of, oh, well, Lincoln was still shot and it was this mysterious person who was never found. And I like how they're interacting with the time stream. They're making slight changes, not big changes.
At a certain point, though, it seems weird to me because, I mean, they're going to be continually getting more and more like lost in time. Like I only imagine why she would even want to go back home anymore.
Right.
Given that her mom is healthy, but her sister doesn't exist. And now she's engaged to a dude
she's never met.
Know. Yeah, like, and he has a goatee.
Ugh.
Hey. Right?
Awkward.
Hey.
Awkward.
Let's calm down a bit here, people.
Did you see the cargo shorts he was wearing?
All right. You know what? I'm going to time travel back. I'm going to suck that dick. And when I come back, you guys will be a lot nicer to me.
Oh, Randy, you're looking good today. Weird. What just happened?
Oh, Randy, can I have some more of your red velvet Oreos?
All right, we're
is
back
that
in
you
the right
being
timeline.
Nice to him?
I've been literally sitting here eating his cookies and using his microphone.
Not a
euphemism.
Because
I'm talking like a bitch.
Neither one of those are euphemisms.
No, literally just eating his food.
But I also like that they're already talking about, like, let's just save Lincoln. What the fuck it? Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, after the first one, why not?
I want them to break free of the structure a little bit as they go on, and I feel like Supernatural points the way toward them doing that. Supernatural changed its rules over and over again, not in a bad way, but in a the characters evolved and they did things and the world changed around them. Like, I can definitely see them being on a mission where they're just going to be like, you know what, fuck it, we're gonna kill Hitler.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, television shows were always kind of afraid to there's a formula to the kind of like time travel thing that you want to preserve a normalcy of the future so you don't have to keep reimagining it.
Yeah.
And budgetary concerns or whatever. But they don't seem to be too concerned with that, at least in the first two episodes. And I hope going forward, yeah, definitely that they'll be a lot more loose of that. So like, but after like episode six, the future's a little bit more bonkers.
Yeah. I love these. I love the cast too. Abigail Spencer from Rectify is really good as their sort of lead historian. The guy who played Lem on Better Off Ted is their pilot.
Yeah.
I love him. Although I didn't get a satisfactory answer to why on earth they would send a black guy back in time when he's like, look, there's nowhere back there that's good for me.
That guy, he owed that guy. Apparently that was it.
Yeah, that's it. He owes him.
He owes him. And so he'll go there and spy on his crew.
What kind of favor?
Well, it did sound like there were only a couple people who could fly the thing.
He's the only one who can fly the
time
machine.
But I think there is like somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, and there, I mean, it wasn't all just
it was his boss who got trapped with Matt Frewer.
Yeah,
so he can, and maybe there's like one other dude, but he owes him a favor and he can fly it, but still.
But I like the cast a lot. The other thing that weirds me out a little bit is they open every episode with a, you know, like they show the Hindenburg and they show what happened and they show Lincoln being shot and they show how the time travel goes. But they showed how it goes in our universe.
How it actually happened.
And I kept expecting them to like show the twist of like what was going to happen, because do they think people don't know? Is it just they think network audiences are that stupid that they don't know?
That's what I got the impression of. Like it was like, oh, there's John Wilkes Booth. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then, oh, there's Ford Theater. And then they have to like turn to the camera and go, Lincoln's assassination, in case people couldn't even put it together.
It feels a little weird.
And you know why?
Why?
Because people like shows like American Housewife and Conviction and Bull.
I was kind of hoping that maybe a younger audience, that they were doing that for them. But I'm also a little concerned that... You guys might be right.
I'll say this, though. They are doing a good job of sneaking in history lessons to people.
Mm-hmm.
So little details, things like introducing us to Abraham Lincoln's son.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
or pointing out that Booth was kind of a little prick.
Yeah.
And that
his brother was the best actor like in the land at the time.
Yeah. Little things like that I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm not super dumb. Just waiting to see if you guys were saying anything. Okay, good. Timeline still maintained.
I suck that dick,
and everybody's nice to me.
Yeah. And like, actually, she in particular is really specific. Like, she makes a comment about the clothes they give her at one point. It's nice.
Man, when she mentioned the underwire bra, I was like, I bet that's going to be a plot point later.
It totally was.
As soon as they were locked in there, and they're like, I don't, if I only had a hairpin, I was like, bra, the bra.
Although, to be fair, go ahead.
In fairness, though, Grant, that is what you say to me every time we're in jail together.
Damn it!
The bra! The bra!
You guys are compatible.
We share, exactly. If you guys needed a Jaeger operated.
Let's pilot a Jaeger together next weekend.
High five! Also, I like that it's just as likely neither one of us would be wearing a bra. And if one of us was, say me, for example, it's probably a sports bra.
I thought it was funny that they take off in a time machine that looks like the CBS logo.
Yeah.
Initially owned by CBS and they sold it over to NBC?
No, Grant. CBS owns time travel.
Oh, then
actual
sense.
Real time travel.
Yeah.
That's whose time machine I used to go back and suck a dick.
I'd like to imagine what their ship would look like if it looked like the Peacock, though. The ugliest ship.
It would look like a ship that David Bowie would fly in.
Well, I'm super excited to keep with this show.
Yeah, me too.
I think this has a great formula. It's very Quantum Leap or Sliders or something, and I want to see where it goes week to week.
Yeah, me too.
Let's move over to HBO and talk about Sarah Jessica Parker's new show, Divorce. So, coming, I guess... I'm sure she's a producer on this thing, right?
Oh, sure.
Sex and the City made them a great deal of money over on HBO.
Yep.
And now she gets this new starring vehicle with her and Thomas Hayden Christensen and Molly Shannon.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Thomas Hayden Church.
And Thomas Hayden Church's mustache, which I believe probably gets separate billing.
It's kind of great.
Yeah.
It's kind of great in a gross way.
And Molly Shannon, yeah.
So this is it. Oh, and Jermaine Clement.
Jermaine Clement. Oh, man.
So this is a show about an older lady, I guess she's 50, and kind of re-examining her relationship with her husband and considering getting a divorce.
What if the show was about time travel just called Divorce?
Oh man, I wish it was. What did you guys think?
I liked it. I was a little disappointed that Molly Shannon was a drunk lady, like drunk wife again. I feel like every time I see her, she's like an over-the-top drunk lady.
At the same time, though, don't you think she was kind of the best part of the pilot?
It was solid.
Like when she pulled out the gun and was threatening to shoot her husband, I was like, this is the best part of this show.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good.
I liked the show, but I hate both of them, and I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
The problem with Molly Shannon is I don't think I would ever want to be around her because she has this face like she's constantly smelling shit. I'm like, whatever's around her probably smells like shit.
Mm-hmm. You think that's...
She's constantly like, ugh, everything around me smells bad.
That is a weirdly specific complaint.
I don't know what it is about her. She makes me uncomfortable.
Now, where are you guys on Sarah Jessica Parker? I know you were not a Sex and the City fan.
No, I have active, strong dislike.
Really?
I would call it, yeah.
You don't like her, but did you like her here?
No,
she's
didn't like her
shrill,
character.
Right?
Yeah, I feel like she's joyless.
Yeah.
Like, I look at her and...
She's a villain.
Yeah, she's like... And her crime is boredom.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just so bored.
Yeah.
I don't really care too much. So I actually liked... Are we talking about plot points? So I actually liked that at first she was like, I want a divorce because I'm boring. And he was like, no, but I'm boring too. Okay. But then when he finds out that she's fucking around on him, he's like, no, get the fuck out. And gets the locks changed. I was like, oh, thank God. Because I needed something strong to happen.
I did like that because I almost thought like, wait a minute, are they throwing a curve? Are they not actually getting divorced?
And then we just get to see him in therapy.
Yeah.
Because that's fun.
Because But then we actually got to the... Be like, oh, okay, well, I guess he found out, and that's...
That was, like, the only redeeming point of the show, I thought.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of unlikable people.
Yeah.
And, everything she does... Though I think the only thing that was good about her is that she seems like she tries to be a good mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, there's something at least I can kind of root for you here, but otherwise... You're just a shitty person.
But you know what? Thomas Hayden, she's been married to Thomas Hayden Church's character for a while. That guy was a terrible guy. He was so dull and so obnoxious. The whole thing where he's like, I'm going to give you an orgasm by licking your vagina. It was like, what are you, a robot? What the fuck is
also,
that?
Also, if I have a mustache and I'm going to eat out a pussy, it's going to be a mustache ride. Period. How do you not say that? that's how that goes.
Problem. What a missed opportunity.
I was like, if you're trying to go down on me with a mustache and you don't offer me a mustache ride, we're done, sir.
I don't think he's... He seems like a guy who's never used a colloquialism in his life. He's like a guy who's so boring.
And if he did, he like gets it kind of wrong. He's like a banana in a canoe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the fuck is he talking about?
I mean, when her sexy side piece is Jemaine Clement, that tells you everything you know about how boring her life is.
That was kind of funny. That was him and his whole like, oh, you're getting a divorce. But I don't know. I didn't like anyone here.
Yeah, that was my issue with it too.
I also didn't like his sriracha t-shirt. I feel like that's played out.
Well, yeah, he probably got it because he likes sriracha. That's why he got it. There's no irony. No, he's like, what? It's my favorite hot sauce.
There's literally no double entendres in the show.
I think that is where the goldmine of the show lies, in how boring that character is. Like, I think that could become hilariously funny if that's where they go. But I don't know where they're going with it.
Well, the thing is about Sarah Jessica Parker, I actually liked the earlier seasons of Sex and the City. I thought it had like a unique point of view. There's really funny storytelling going on there.
You're such a Charlotte.
But as it proceeded, it had the exact same problem for me as Entourage, where they all just become superficial douchebags.
Yeah.
And there's nothing kind of redeemable about them. They are all just really up their own asses about everything. And we start off this show with Sarah Jessica Parker being sort of a continuation of that.
Yeah.
She's just all about herself and she's making no efforts at trying to fix things or to be straightforward with the people around her and wondering why shit's falling apart. And I'm like, I don't want to follow your story any longer.
Yeah.
There's nothing for me to root for there. Like, in contrast to looking at like a show like Togetherness,
yeah,
where you have this strong basis for their relationship. You get a heart, a warmth to that, and you kind of want to root for that when things get strained. We're introduced right at the shitty part, and I just don't care about them.
Do you guys remember the movie War of the Roses that was like the Romancing the Stone
crew?
This reminds me of that. They were both hateful people, and they both went at each other in divorce, and I wonder if that's where they're going with it. I'm not crazy about that movie either. It was Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
And they were both awful to each other, and it was just an unpleasant movie. And I feel like that's the vibe the divorce is giving off too.
Well, one sort of weird thing for me, like vibe-wise, mm-hmm. was in some ways, like we were talking about, it's very banal. It's very, you know, just a day in the life of. But then something zany happens. And sometimes it's literally like Molly Shannon gets a gun, which is just, you know, bananas.
Sure.
But then also sometimes it's just something theatrically zany. Like when she's like, hey, I want a divorce. He throws up on the cop's shoe.
Yeah.
Or like there's just like these weird kind of cartoonish moments mixed into this like, no, this is like the real world.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how to resolve that yet. And maybe if I follow this show, I'll get a better sense of what this world feels like. But right now it sort of feels like they watched what they had and then did some punch up or something like that.
There's so much good TV that this is one of those things that is not likely to wind up on my viewing schedule.
It just felt like it's appealing to a demographic that is not me right now.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on to Westworld.
Yeah.
Because
you guys got to talk about this. Well, Randy, you got to talk about this.
I got to talk about it last week with Les and Kyle.
Ashley and I didn't get to talk about this. So let's start with you, Ashley. What are you thinking? We're on episode two.
So I love Westworld. Yeah. I really can't say enough awesome things about it. I really like it. Number one, I will say Michael Crichton kind of picks a theme and runs with it.
Is this Michael Crichton?
This is Michael Crichton, yeah. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I never saw the movie.
So he definitely likes the idea of one's progeny running amok in the theme park in which he placed them.
Grant and I are both parents, so we can imagine this.
Yeah, yeah, you can see this happening. I like that. Yeah,
just
I just
can't disappoint us, Randy.
And murder us.
Yeah, if we're lucky.
I'm just picturing like these tiny people, like kind of like Swift style coming at you guys, but like you're asleep or something. So it's successful. But no, I love it. I think it's beautiful. I think it has so many interesting questions. I love that when you're watching it, like if you're an RPG fan,
yeah,
it's the writing is so solid because it really feels like, so if you're in the real world, that's real writing. It's like, you're really there. It's normal. But if they're actually in Westworld, it really feels like I'm walking around in Skyrim.
Yeah,
like
a Red Dead Redemption, right?
Red Dead Redemption, yeah, of course. Like, it really does. They did such a good job of capturing the way that those characters have their little tics and their little phrases.
And the repetition.
The repetition that, like, every time Dolores goes to pack up her groceries, a can rolls so you can pick it up, that a guy falls in the mud and he has an eye patch and he's going to take you on a treasure hunt.
Yep.
I really felt like they did a beautiful job of capturing that. And those are my favorite kind of video games.
Yeah.
So I feel like... I'm lonely. I like sexy robots and RPG games. I'm like 34 years old. I feel like they fucking nailed it. Like, I think I'm their target audience, though, to be fair.
I think one of the things I really like about this, and we see it especially in the second episode, is sort of the meta stuff where the people have been coming for a while are like, no, fuck that guy. Don't talk to him. You don't want to go on his quest. You're going to take a treasure hunt. We're going to find out the real stuff going on in the game. And I think that's going to be interesting because that's what Ed Harris's character is doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get to the root of this, like, secret code part of the game, which, again, is such a video game thing. The notion that the hardcore gamers, like, yeah, we're like, I beat the main game in like an hour, dude. I'm going to go find out the thing that the coders put in just for guys like me.
I've already read some interesting fan theories about that.
No.
That ties into, I guess, the movie, which I need to watch.
I've heard people say that they think the movie's in continuity.
Yeah, it would make sense because they keep referencing like the incident 30 years ago.
Yeah. Ah.
And I'm thinking whatever happens in the movie is the incident 30 years ago, and Ed Harris's character is in some way related to one of those characters in the previous movie, that he's familiar with this. He's been coming here for that long, and he's just so engrossed in this that he wants to kind of dig deeper and either unleash chaos, or there's someone else that's kind of doing that within the system. Like, what do you guys think about that kind of?
Like who's leaving these clues for him to follow?
Or who's breaking these robots? Like, is that Anthony Hopkins? Like, is that his kind of grand plan to?
I think it is.
Introducing elements, like, because he gives them these ticks.
Yep.
But
The revelries, I think they call them. Mm-hmm. Reveries. Revelries. That's different.
But Jeffrey Wright, is that his name?
Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright. He he also seems to be playing some weird game. And we see that a bit more in this, where he's talking to Dolores. And he's like, yeah. Hey, you're not telling anyone I'm talking to you, right?
Right.
Delete your logs.
Yeah.
And it's like that, coupled with in the first episode, you see a picture of like his son that he must have lost.
Yeah.
And I thought that maybe there's this that kid by the river that comes up and talks to someone was supposed to be a... Because they had that scene really close to when he's talking about the picture of his son. Yeah. I thought that in some way he was programming a version of his son, and he's in a way trying to bring back his kid in a way.
You're talking about Anthony Hopkins' character?
No, Jeffrey Wright.
Because the kid that Anthony Hopkins was talking about, I thought that was like supposed to be a younger version of him. And I feel like he's using the robots to figure himself out.
Either a younger version of him... Or for some reason, I got a little mixed up, and I thought that young kid, before it turned out he was a robot,
yeah.
was actually Ed Harris. Like,
okay.
Time travel thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wait, that wouldn't work, I guess.
The thing I also liked in the second episode, they introduced Jimmy Simpson's character. He's the guy you've seen on Always Sunny in Philadelphia and a bunch of other stuff.
He was in Breakout Kings. Remember that great show?
Nobody remembers Breakout Kings. But
I sadly do.
He looks like... I mean, I'm not sure if he's going to be like a regular character or if he's just in for a couple episodes, but...
He's got to be a regular, right?
Him showing up with his buddy, and his buddy's the guy who's been around. He puts on the black hat, and this guy puts on the white hat. I thought that was interesting because when we talked about the first episode, and I don't know about you guys, when I played Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption, that kind of thing, I have definitely murdered whores for laughs. That's just a thing I do. And it's in video games... And I think about like when you go into a video game, it's easy to look at these people and be like, oh, they're all horrible. Look what they're doing. But it's not real to them.
Yeah.
And so to see a guy who actually goes in and decides like, oh, I'm actually going to play this like a nice guy, like I'm going to be the hero. I think we don't see that in a lot of these kinds. Usually it's all the humans going in are assholes and the robots are right to rebel. Mm-hmm. So I think having a guy who goes in as a player and is like, this is wrong. I'm going to try and, you know, treat this as if it were real is going to be interesting.
I couldn't really gauge what the relationship is supposed to be between him and his coworker.
Yeah.
Is his friend, is his coworker? Because he says he's not my friend.
I think they work together and they both wound up coming to this place.
Yeah, I think they're acquaintances and now he's just a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
So, I learned a little something about me watching this.
Yeah,
it was interesting hearing you because I know you like these kind of games as well.
Yeah.
So one of the things that my household likes to make fun of me about is that when you play Skyrim, there's like several different storylines you can do. Uh-huh. One of them is the Thieves Guild.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of cool shit at the end of that one. But to do it, you got to go like hustle people and like take their shit and break up their store. Basically racketeering.
Yeah.
Mm. And so the first thing you have to do is go break this lady's statue or whatever. It's like her religious statue. And I went to break it and she started crying. And I was like, God damn it. So I left and then went and did like the Bard's College. And I couldn't do it. I felt bad.
What that means is that, Ashley, when you and I go to Westworld, I'm going to be wearing the black hat and you're wearing the white hat. And you're probably going to kill me at the end of it. I'm guessing.
I guess I'm not as cynical as I thought I was. Fuck.
But I think that's interesting is that they're doing this thing. That's one of the things that they talk about in the first episode. They're talking about how the updates are trying to make it more real and they give them the reveries and that kind of thing. And I think it was the writer or the corporate person, I don't remember, who makes the point. It's the writer who's like, they don't want them to be more real. Like, the more real they are, the more you can't do something fun like go join the Thieves Guild, because then you feel like you're offending a real person. So what is the end game? He's not doing this for the people coming to the park.
No, absolutely not. And she agrees to that.
Yeah.
The lady boss.
Yeah. There's more going on. That's the other thing. There's so many levels of this. Like, what the corporation is up to and what they want to use these things for and what they're doing. There's way beyond just a theme park. And these are the guys. This is... Lisa Joy and not Christopher Nolan, but the brother, Jonathan Nolan, who did Person of Interest, which started out as kind of a procedural show about saving people and turned into this big, crazy, dystopian sci-fi drama. Mm. I'm only three seasons in, but I can already tell where it's shaping. So I am quite sure that they're using this as the gateway into a much larger story.
Mm-hmm.
And season two's already in production.
Yeah. I also want to call out, I mentioned it last time, but how good is the music?
Oh, I loved it.
The music is so good.
The first time that, I think it's in episode one where the player piano's going, and I think it's actually Black Hole Sun.
It's Black Hole Sun.
And I didn't know the music at the time, right? I just sat down to watch the show. Yeah. I was like, what is the fuck?
Yeah.
Is that Black Hole Sun? And then I think it's like...
And then they use Paint It Black for the big shootout. And it's... I like
this. So good.
The thing that I like about Westworld that they do really well is... With something like Deadwood, it's going to have, just by its nature, it's going to have sort of like the racism and a lot of the stuff that goes into sort of the West period. And what they can do here, Westworld is a fictionalized version of it. So they get to do all the cool stuff you can do in the Old West. You can do cowboys and, you know, and like the...
All the cool scalping.
Yeah. You can do all that stuff, but they...
Raping and pillaging.
It's awesome.
But they can take it, like, they don't have to have all the racism so that if everybody's, you know, just cool with black people being in the world, it's because it's a program. It's not so that everybody's not watching it and going... Well, that's not what the Old West is like. That doesn't make any sense. Like, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So you can sort of get rid of some of the unpleasant truths of the Wild West and still do a story that's true to that genre. And I think that's cool.
Still have a lot of the other ugliness.
Yes.
The violence.
Well, but, and then the music is kind of plays into that because you can take modern music and put it through like a player piano filter or, you know, give it a little bit of an Old West sound. And I love that little juxtaposition.
I also like the consistent questions. It came up a little bit in the first one, but more the second one with how do you tell the robots from the real people?
Yeah.
And they never really have a good answer to that, which I really like because I think it's foreshadowing some fucked up shit. Mm-hmm. And it happens first, actually with Jimmy Simpson's character when he goes in to get his outfit to go into the world. Yeah. And there's, of course, that beautiful woman there. And she's like, you want to ask, go ahead. Yeah. And then she doesn't answer. She's like, if you don't know, then it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
And then he finds out later when she's like, so should we fuck or just go to the thing? He's like, okay, you're a robot. That's not how ladies respond to me. And then later he's having dinner with his friend and he's looking around and his friend's like, you're wondering, how do you tell if it's them or us? And he's like, well, I'll show you one good way. He goes to pull out his gun because of course they can't kill real people, but they can kill the quote hosts, the robots. He's like, can we just eat dinner first, man? Just like
It was super disturbing because he does that and there's something about the gun that won't allow it to shoot real people or whatever.
Yeah, I'm still wondering what the technology is on that.
Yeah.
But then he makes a point of instead using a knife to stab the guy's hand.
Yeah.
You could stab real people.
Okay, so that's actually something else that came up. This is a real... This is like the outskirts of the Grand Canyon. Like, can you fall off a cliff? Can I drown in this world?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering too. And also...
Fall off my horse?
The guests can do whatever they want to the host. The host can't affect the guests. Can the guests affect other guests?
Like, initially I was thinking maybe they, in a way, like, take over another robot body.
Do you put your mind in a robot? Do you put your mind in a robot body? But they haven't shown us yet. And I know that they have the answer and they're deliberately not showing us.
Yeah, because all of a sudden he's just kind of, he enters under the train.
Yeah.
And we see him go there.
Yeah.
But it'd be a whole different thing, and there wouldn't be this fear of death, I guess, if we knew they were surrogate.
Also, though, I was thinking about that. Like, are they just, like, getting in a cube or whatever, and then, like, they have surrogate bodies? But at one point when one of the whores, the one that they're going to decommission with the black curly hair.
Yeah, Tandy Newton's character.
Yeah, exactly. Maeve. When she's having problems, they give her like a full physical, and it turns out she has an infection.
Yeah,
which makes me think that it's not.
You think it might not be robots?
Well, if she has an internal, I took that as she has an internal infection that didn't get properly washed out.
You think they may just be like they may just be programming humans, kind of thing. Like dollhouse thing, or
no? But what I no. What I mean is If you got into a robot body and then fucked a robot whore, there's no...
Go on.
I'm listening. There's no exchanges of anything that's likely to give anybody an infection.
Right. So the real people are real.
Yeah, so the real people are real, maybe, and the robots aren't. But then the question becomes, okay, well, what if you do that, then I do that, and then Grant does that? Or worse, the other order. Who knows what we'll get?
This just turned ugly.
Exactly.
I apologize.
Yeah, exactly.
You were going to ruin that sex bot.
Because then that puts the other guests at risk. So when I found out that... And then I didn't know necessarily if the infection that she had was just...
Right.
Like what they were hinting at with that. But I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, shit. So homegirl's got a problem downstairs. No judgment. Happens to everybody. However, this leads to more narrative questions.
Yeah. Also, that bit where they have her running around. She wakes up and runs around naked with a knife. What an abattoir that she woke up like. It looks like just the horror of everything.
It really reminded me of that new movie Ex Machina.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah,
yeah.
Like robots being a little bit too real and kind of realizing themselves. That's fucked up. And I love where this story is going. And kudos to HBO for finding another fantastic show to kind of follow on the heels of Game of Thrones.
The other thing I really like about this is that there's plenty of nudity and sex because it's HBO.
You love it.
But I do love that. But they've managed to make the nudity sort of unsexy.
Yes.
Because it's just everywhere. And it's like, you know, and it's everyone. It's like every body type. There's, you know, it's a naked dude sitting on a stool being talked to. And even when you have someone beautiful like Thandie Newton, it's not about her being naked. It's about, look at this horror she's in, and she has no protection because she is literally as naked as she was the day she was born. And all she has is a little knife, and it makes her more vulnerable. And it's not done. It's not done for titillation's purpose, I don't think.
It always seems to be much more of like a power dynamic.
Yes.
Between the controlling scientists and the sex robots.
The sex robots.
Well, yeah, and like the decommissioned area where it's just all the naked robots standing there in the water.
And they're all stinky because the AC turned off. I'm like, get the AC fixed. Come on.
I love this show and I cannot wait to see more of it. I feel like they're doing the kind of world building that Game of Thrones does.
I would not mind discussing this week to week.
I think we might have to.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go ahead and put a pin in it there, and we will return next week talking about this, probably about Atlanta and some other shows.
And CW week next week, Grant.
Oh, is it?
It's CW week. We have our guest Tim Doyle is going to be here.
Oh, okay. So I got to watch some CW shows.
Yep. Catch up on The Flash.
All right, well, I will do that. And until next week, guys.
Oh, if you put an onion in a martini, it's called a Gibson.
TV Dudes out.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at TV Dudes, and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.